most diabolical haters this side of the Mississippi. I hate you. I hate you. I don't even know you. And I hate your guts. I hope all the bad things in life happen to you and nobody else but you.
I'm going to talk about some Snatch.
Yeah. I was pretty excited for this episode.
Me too. I was really excited.
And from what I saw from the first episode, I was like, okay, this could be pretty funny.
Yeah, there's some funny queens. Yeah. Like, yeah.
And then we got this.
While I was watching it, I was like, this is pretty good. Like, it was, there were obviously some, like, cringy moments, but that is every Snatch game. So yeah. You expect some cringe moments. And overall, I thought, like, I was fairly entertained.
Okay, I was not. It started off okay.
Yeah.
And then it just petered out.
Yeah. There have definitely been much better Snatch games, but there have also been a lot worse.
Anita killed it, though.
Anita was awesome. Yeah.
Granted, she just had to be good, and she would have been the best.
Though. Yeah, yeah. But yeah.
She was But she great. Was
legit. Yeah, she was really good.
She did great.
Yeah.
So, I really liked her. Who else? Okay, so... What did you think of Lindy Chamberlain?
I died. I thought it was so funny. Everyone's so offended when she was like, "Ooh, I wrote an answer down. I swear." And then I just stood up and lived for 2 minutes. And I came back and I guess a dingo got my answer, Roo. I died.
That was the funniest thing in that whole Snatch game.
It was the funniest thing in the whole Snatch. Honestly, it was. Yeah.
I took notes during this thing, and like the first thing I wrote was like, "Dingo ate my answer."
Yeah, Dingo ate my answer. It was really funny.
Yeah. Dingo ate my answer. When I laughed the most at that one, and then her character kind of petered out too.
Yeah, it didn't.
It is kind of offensive.
It is kind of offensive, which, I mean, I don't know. I just love it. Yeah. I thought it was so funny.
It's like a baby did die. And yeah. She went to prison. Did you know her story?
Yeah, a bit. Not like full details, but
She went to prison for it because they thought she killed it for 3 years.
Yeah.
And then she was pregnant while the dingo ate her baby. And so she had to give birth in prison and then, like, give it up for a couple years.
Oh, God. That sucks.
Like, she had a shitty time at it. That
sucks so bad.
For like being accused of killing your own child, she doesn't want Snatch Game.
Well, sometimes you just gotta laugh.
I mean, it has been a while. It was a dead baby. I don't know.
It's of course it's a tragic. It's a tragedy that happened, but
it was all right. It was definitely
made me laugh. So fuck
it. It was like the second best one. There.
It was absolutely
because then it was those two, and then after that it just.
I thought, Jennifer Coolidge had some missed moments, but she also had some pretty funny moments.
Yeah, I didn't hate it. I thought she did good. I was like, it was good.
It was a safe performance.
Yeah, it was safe. And they kind of shit on her.
They did shit on her. I have some thoughts about the judging because I've read articles and everyone talking about how it was one of the worst Snatch games in history. And like, really, it wasn't. I think everyone just thinks it was the worst because so many queens were put in the bottom. Like, the judging was skewed, I think, because we have seen worse Snatch game performances be declared safe.
Yeah, for sure.
It was just like because the judging in previous seasons had two in the top, two in the bottom, and the rest solid safes doesn't mean that those solid safes did better performances than these queens did in the bottom.
Like Catherine O'Hara, that character, like I thought she was great.
It was you thought it was great?
I thought it was all right.
Okay, well we're Canadian, so we hold Catherine O'Hara in great respect, and it was not great. It was like she had some things down. She was just trying too hard for it. Like you could tell she didn't have the character down in a way that she could embody the character fully.
Yeah.
I think she's smart enough. Like they praised her on her rhetoric and her back and forth, and I think she's smart enough to do that, but I just don't think she knows the character well enough to do it as Catherine O'Hara.
Yeah. And Karen was really disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, first of all, why pick such a big character? Like
why?
That? They you're said set, you're setting yourself up.
Exactly.
Pick, like Diana Ross, all these big icons.
Unless you're Chad Michaels, like unless you're a professional impersonator of a specific person.
Fact.
Yeah, if you're Derek Barry, do Britney Spears. If you're Chad Michaels, do Cher. But other than that, like, oh, if you're like Venus Delight, do Madonna, you know.
But yeah, it's just you're setting yourself up.
Yeah.
And then fucking ketamine, Dr. Seuss.
Yeah. I should have went. I'm blanking right now. What was her other choice?
It was Kath.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the fuck?
I'm surprised no one's done Kim.
Like, I know.
Because Kath has like a very like interesting look.
Well, yeah. So does Kim, though. Like, but if you Kim, got like that like gross, waxy, thirsty wig and like a belly shirt like that's too... a thong joke with like...
It can be done. You just have to be as funny as her.
Yeah.
The look, it's not like...
And the thing with Kim, too, is she's very like negative humor.
Yeah.
And that can play... bad, whereas Kath is more positive, light humor.
Yeah,
and it's, I think that's easier to play off.
You need those two.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And Rue doesn't like negative humor.
Yeah,
unbalanced negative humor. You know,
again, my go-to choice every time I see Snatch Games now is I'm like, just go for a dead character that like has been dead for
an old years. Dead character. Absolutely, so you can do whatever the fuck you want.
Do whatever.
Absolutely, Cleopatra.
Yeah.
Yeah, just be like a dumb, slutty Cleopatra.
That's exactly what you said for Candy Muse.
Candy Muse, yeah, I know.
Color episode, Cleopatra. Cleopatra.
I am hilarious. No, offensive, more like.
But yeah, what else? Like, I don't think I wrote anything else for that one. I thought it'd be funny if, like, when some queens are clearly, like, bombing and keep doing bad every time they talk, they should just be like a trap door and they're like, and so by the end there's only like a couple left.
One of them, they have like terrified looks on their faces
because every time
trying to be funny.
Yeah, because every time Art Simone was on I was like,
next,
pressing the button.
Yeah dropper.
She's got nothing more.
Yeah, it was bad.
And I just didn't like her either.
No, and you could tell she was someone that came like over prepared and overconfident. Like she knew she was gonna do well, and she had all these like in-depth layered jokes written out, and she committed to them way too hard. And every time it was her turn, she had like a script, like, well, Rue, blah blah blah, my story, blah 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 blah, setup, punchline that wasn't worth it. And you could tell she had worked so hard on it, and it was just stiff and bad. And everyone was like, oh god, are you done fucking talking yet? Is it over?
What bothers me the most isn't that like her first like couple's like jokes faltered. It's that you can't just be like, oh, that fucked up.
Exactly.
I need to flip the script here.
Exactly. She committed.
Obviously, those didn't work. The rest aren't going to work either. Exactly. I just don't understand how you go, all right, here we go. I'm going to say my thing, even though every other one didn't work.
Exactly.
Like, come on, you need to adapt.
She had committed way too hard to the material.
So annoying.
Yeah, it was bad.
It's like,
and Rue says it all the time. Like, it's not like, don't be overprepared. Go in knowing the character and be able to riff and like have it back and forth on the spot, on the fly.
Yeah.
And those are the queens that always win and do well.
Yeah, not learn a fucking script.
Yeah. No one wants to see you verbatim say your script that you prepared in the hotel room last night. No one wants to fucking hear that.
I was in sets a year ago.
Nah, me neither.
I was like, she could probably deliver some pretty interesting looks, but
yeah,
I don't care.
Yeah,
she kind of soured it. Like, she had a sour taste in my mouth, and then she leaves, and then she's like, it means nothing.
Yeah, that like, means nothing. But like, she showed up, fat asses.
What? Bitch, you're on the biggest drag platform there is. It means something. People make a career from being eliminated the first two.
Yeah. Like, need I mention Juice Box?
Our Lord and Savior
Juice Box. Yeah.
So, whatever.
It was a bit much. We watched this gif of her walking out after being eliminated to the sound of Mr. G from Summer Heights High resigning. If anyone can find that, it's really, really funny.
Yeah.
And if you've watched Summer Heights High.
Yeah. I also wrote, I really thought it was funny they did a shoey.
Yeah. Yeah. It was disgusting, but funny.
And it's like, it is something they do.
I know.
It's fucking gross.
I know. I've met an Australian before. They fucking love talking about it.
There's a UFC fighter who, like, after he wins a match, will just get a crowd.
There's a NASCAR driver who does that too.
Fuck, they're so I think. Or like my favorite is just watching driver, like countries, like Asian countries, or like just really timid people who like don't even know this exists. Like this happened with the UFC, like the first time the guy did that, and they're just like, "What's he doing? What's going on?" Wildest man I've ever seen in my life. And this is like, no, this is common practice.
It's disgusting.
So I thought it was great they did it. Shout out to them. Who was the other one in the bottom two? Coco Jumbo. Was her Lizzo outfit? Did Lizzo do a Sailor Moon thing, or was it a Sailor Moon thing?
I don't know.
Looked exactly like Sailor Moon. I was like, what is this? Yeah. How is this Lizzo? Did Lizzo wear the suit like that?
I think maybe Lizzo did. I don't really follow Lizzo.
Yeah, me neither. Because I was like, she must have worn this because I'm like, this is Sailor Moon right now.
Yeah, she must have. I know that she had a jazz flute skit or whatever.
She just took it. She was terrible.
Yeah, she was bad. It's a cute little lip syncer, though.
Yeah. Anything stick out in the looks at the end?
Keita Mean looked awesome. She had the like long gown with like the amoeba strings, kind of like Bimini Bamboo lashes.
Yeah,
prehistoric.
Yeah, her thing was cool.
It was really cool. I think Anita Wiglet looked awesome.
What did Anita do?
She had the kind of like everyone was kind of sea witchy.
She had like I'm over.
You're over it. Over it.
I'm over it. Oh, it's like an Ursula. It's a dark purple. Yeah. And there's fringe, these things. Do something else. The scuba suit was my favorite.
The scuba suit was really cool, etc., etc. So, I'm really liking etc., etc. Yeah. I think she, like, has got some looks. I think she paints a face right. She goes a little grayscale a bit, but maybe it's on purpose. Maybe it's, like, a character choice. I don't know. But I like her. She said some jokes that I like.
Yeah.
She has kind of, like, a floozy but confident vibe about her, kind of like a dumb Aquaria.
Yeah,
which I'm into.
Yeah, me too. I like her. Yeah, I love that outfit. Again, I was
it was sick.
Not
it was
a deep space fucking deep Ursula. Sea.
Yeah, deep
sea.
Exactly. Everyone did Ursula.
I know, and they always do it. Yeah, because there's always like an underwater theme of some sort. No? Yeah. They always go like Dark Queen.
Yeah, 11 Ursulas and then one standout like.
Like the coral one was nice.
Oh my god, Scarlett Adams' coral was super cool. Yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah, that was awesome. That really stood out to me, actually. That was really, really cool. Again, Coco Jumbo was boring Ursula. She didn't even do...
Exactly.
If she had done... Example. Instead of the skirt, if she had done tentacles, instead that would have been
cool. Yeah. You need to elevate if you're going for that
thing. Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, now, like, my bar has just been risen, and I'm like, I want to see originality now. Totally. Like, to me now, I'm like, you don't have to be the like, super expensive queen. Like, as long as you're just doing something original, like, stick out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of just gowns on the looks.
Yeah, but there were some nice looks, actually.
I love how...
Honestly, I really liked Art Simone's look. Yeah. I really liked her
look. Yeah, I didn't hate it.
Yeah, the teeth were cool. The hair was really well done.
It looked good.
The dress was gorgeous. Yeah, it was good.
I like how after the game, they were all like,
That was like the strongest snatch game
ever been.
Yeah, totally.
Karen was the only one who was like, no. It's terrible. She was like the voice of reason.
I'm excited.
At least she saw it, you know?
I'm excited to rewatch it because here where we live, it comes out at 3 in the morning on Saturday mornings, and I always stay up to watch it. But Friday night, I think I was like drinking, smoking poly, so I was.
Yeah.
Watched it at 3 in the morning, all fucked up, and I was like, this is great! This is awesome. And then everyone has been talking about how it was shit, and I still don't disagree, but I always rewatch the episodes, so we'll see how I think.
Yeah.
After I rewatch it.
How did you feel about your number one boo on the show?
My number one boo?
Kylie Minogue's sister.
Oh.
So when they announced Kylie Minogue, I was like, oh my god, there's some gays yelling right now.
Screaming.
And then... And then they announce her sister, and I'm like, oh my god. Danny Minogue. Then just threw every glass in front of them.
You know, it's actually, I don't actually have a strong opinion about Danny Mike. It's Mike. Okay. Mike, like, has often said, he's like, there are only three things in this world I cannot abide: children screaming, church bells, and Danny Minogue. So those are the three things he hates. And I think he's narrowed the list down to just Danny Minogue.
Okay. So he was pissed.
Yeah,
she didn't have an integral part, so it
was well, neither did Kylie, though. That's what I'm pissed about.
And then they didn't even fucking play one of her songs at the end.
Okay, so here's what I think. I hope the lip sync for The Crown will be a Kylie song, and I think they maybe only are doing one Kylie song for the season, and they're saving it for The Crowning. Yeah. That's what I hope.
You can just make them all Kylie.
Just make the entire season Kylie. I am, yeah. Kylie Minogue is my favorite pop diva. She's my fucking bitch.
Yeah. You should have got her as a guest judge.
Yeah, what the fuck? Well, they can't really. Everything has to be like Zoom, you know? Because to be on set, you have to quarantine for like 2 weeks before.
Well, she's not touring.
How do you know?
Yeah, she is in Australia and they're kind of back to normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
She's working. She's fucking Kylie Minogue. She can't just stop doing things for 2 weeks to appear on set for one day.
Fine. Anyways, I was mad at...
Trust me, if anyone's upset about this, I am. I'm obsessed with Kylie Minogue, so don't even...
Yeah, I was just upset they didn't use one of her songs, but yeah, I guess maybe they're saving it. And then they use fucking one of Rue's... It's not the worst song, but it is... Okay, it's only a good song if you're a good dancer. Because it's not a good song to lip sync. It just says, I'm that bitch over and over.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and it's just this, like, a good song for dancers to hit, like,
marks times. Points.
And,
yeah. And, yeah, I know. Yeah.
And none of them were dancers. None of them
were great dancers. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Like,
so, yeah, it wasn't a great lip sync.
Like, Jumbo was, like, the best dancer, and she was not good.
No. She did a way better lip sync, for sure. But
yeah. It's because the other one was, like, clearly not a dancer, and she was just trying to emote this song that's... Brew just saying, I'm that bitch over and over.
Also, I'm way more familiar with the season 12 cast version of the song. So, listening to the song, I kept on wanting to, like, sing girls' verses.
Yeah.
And couldn't. So, that was frustrating for me.
Yeah. My last note was, it means nothing, lol.
What means just, nothing? Everything?
No, and she said, like, it means nothing.
Oh. Well, at least you're on two episodes. It means nothing. I know, I laughed so hard. Pettiness. I love it. Yeah. You can shut those up, your fat ass. I hope she saw that gif.
Yeah. What'd you think of Karen's look? The shark?
Oh, it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. It kind of reminded me of like a Lawrence Chaney look. Didn't Lawrence Chaney do something similar?
I've been getting Lawrence Chaney
vibes. Yeah, very Lawrence Chaney vibes. Can you imagine if Rue back to back crowns Lawrence Chaney and Karen from Binance? Who do you think is gonna win? I don't see a clear winner yet, to be honest.
Right now,
I want it to be Anita.
Yeah, also.
I want it to be Anita Wiglet.
Anita, it's hard for me to look at. Well, it's getting easier because I'm getting to see more of Anita. But she reminds me so much of a guy I know.
Oh, really?
Who's exactly like that? Like that? Like 100% energy all the time. Yeah. And like has a face like she's skydiving. Yeah, no guy like that, and he's just like he's like the straight version of Anita.
Basically. Yeah, awesome.
So I'm just like, oh my god, like his character name is Wacky Chad.
Wacky Chad.
He's just like kooky. So high energy. He scares children and makes them cry sometimes because he's perfect. So like... But yeah, I really like Anita.
Yeah,
I like she's Anita like too. Really been consistently good.
Mm-hmm. But there's only been two episodes.
Exactly.
But so far, she's my favorite.
She's funny.
She's my pick to win.
She has some interesting looks.
Yeah, I really liked her sheep look, and I really liked her look this week. So her looks are impressing me more than I thought they would. Yeah. I thought her looks would be lacking, and so far they're not. So get it.
Yeah. We'll see if she's like good in front of the camera and if she can sing and dance.
That's going to be brutal. And I think this coming week is girl group.
How many of them can dance?
Well, Electra Shock is a really good dancer. Okay. Scarlett Adams has a... Or was it Scarlett Adams or et cetera, et cetera? One of them has... No, Scarlett Adams has a background in dance.
Okay. based on looks alone, I would say Karen isn't. I would say
you never know.
Kita isn't.
Yeah, probably not. Well, Kita said that she would destroy Anita in a lip sync, so maybe she's got some moves. They've also been drag queens forever, so they have, you know.
Yeah, but Kita's also been disappointing, and
I really like Kita Mean though.
Yeah.
Not as much.
What was her look at the end? I forget. It was some dirt.
This week?
Yeah.
Kita Mean's was really good. It was the amoeba. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. It was really, really good.
Yeah. The floaties.
Yeah. The floaties. Exactly. Yeah. It was a great look.
Yeah. No, her look was good.
Yeah. She looked beautiful.
I didn't want to see more of her. Like, I wouldn't have wanted her to be in the bottom.
No, for sure. Yeah.
So we'll see.
I think the Kiwi girls are going to do well.
Yeah. Et cetera. I'm curious to see. She might be pretty good in front of the camera.
Yeah, I think she could be, yeah.
So, yeah. Let's get into this book.
Yes! We finished Test of the Twins, the third book in Dragonlance Legends Volume 3. Quick read.
Yeah.
Quick blast through read.
It was reminiscent of like the first three Dragonlance.
Totally.
It was just like so fast paced.
Yeah, yeah. It was definitely the best book of the trilogy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
So where did we left off like fairly early on in the book last time, like 110.
Like rewinding it like a movie in my
head. I know. Yeah.
Scene by scene. Yeah. Because there was a lot that happened.
I think we ended at chapter 4 of part 2.
Yeah.
And it starts with Raceland having visions of his childhood growing up while he's in the abyss.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's like getting put to the test in the abyss.
Yeah. So, yeah, lots of cool action. Not a whole lot of Crisania, which was awesome.
My favorite part of the book.
The lack of Crisania.
Oh, not just that, but the specific part when she's like, "Help me, I'm dying."
Yeah.
He's like, "I don't need you anymore."
Yeah.
And walks away.
Yeah. And she's just like, "Meh."
Like, yes! I'm so happy.
Well, it's just like, people told, like, "You're so dumb." People have been telling, like, "He's evil. He doesn't give a shit. He's doing this for him."
And it's shit still works out for her.
Of course, shit still works out for her.
Cameron rescues her. She becomes the fucking head of the Paladins thing.
Yeah. So I don't understand, skipping ahead towards the end of the book.
Yeah.
What I don't understand is when Raceland and Cameron were talking right in the abyss, right next to the portal, and Cameron and is talking about how he can't go through, and he's just like consigning himself and Crisania to die in the abyss, and Raceland is like, "No, like, take the stuff and take Crisania and go and close the portal." Why couldn't they have all done that? Why did Raceland have to stay in the abyss?
I don't know, man.
It was weird. It's not like he slowed her down. Like, there was time. I feel like there was time for them all to get out and then close the gate.
Because it was also like, does Caramon know how to use?
Right, exactly. And they were the whole time, it was like, the way Takisis gets into the mortal plane is by following a mortal exiting the abyss into the mortal plane through this thing. So, like, there has to be, she has to follow a mortal doing it. It, like, lets her in somehow. So all leading up, they're like, "We can't let this happen. No one can leave the abyss. Like, once you go in to make sure she doesn't come out, like, you're there and you're going to die there. And it sucks for you, but you're saving the world." And then at the end, they're like, "So just leave and close it behind you. All you have to do is close it behind you."
Like,
wait, this whole time we could have just, like, closed it. You could have just, as a non-magic user, how the staff had been like, "Close Sesame," and it fucking closes.
Yeah. I know. It was a little weird.
It was dumb.
It's a little weird.
Anyways, things like that I do think about, but I try not to dwell on too much because it's...
There's never going to be an answer.
There's never going to be an answer, and the point of the book is an enjoyable read, which it was.
Yeah.
So we should focus on that.
Yeah. Really liked... trying to see what even happens. I really like when Tass, like, his whole thing with the dragon.
It's so, okay, Tasselhoff, I know we've said it before, and I will never stop saying it, but Tasselhoff is the best hero.
Yeah. The whole time I'm reading the book, I'm like, this motherfucker does everything.
He does everything. Everyone just blunders through, and he, I mean, he also kind of blunders through, but with, like, a random purposefulness that always gets the job done.
Yeah. And what I like is he's not, like... In this, he's not accidental and clumsy and stuff in the sense that his goal is to protect and help.
He always achieves his goal. It's just by, like, random ludicrous means.
Yeah.
So I have a, I put a bookmark in a thing because, you know how I've always been talking about my theory that Tasselhoff is a really powerful cleric?
Yeah. Well, he, like, proves it. He prays. Proves it.
Yeah. It's proven.
Yeah, he prays to Fizzbin.
He prays to Fizzbin.
For a dragon.
For a dragon, and it fucking happens. But in a, like, random, unexpected way, like, not the way other clerics' powers are answered, because he's a cleric to a befuddled wizard god. Like, I love it. I think it's such good storytelling. Like, it's...
Yeah.
It's really, really cool because it's never, it never comes right out and says that he's a cleric, but he constantly prays to Fizzbin and his prayers are constantly answered.
Yeah.
They're never not answered.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really
he's
sick.
Definitely a cleric. So.
Yeah. A powerful cleric. Yeah. Like, what? And, like, they're always talking about, like, the one true cleric in the land, one of the most powerful clerics. And, like, no one's talking about how Tasselhoff is, like, probably more of a powerful cleric than fucking Crisania.
He gets to maybe have his own spare bedroom in Caramon's house.
Okay, but that was really sweet. That made me really,
really cool. Nice. You were nice to him when he's alive.
Yeah,
right. I don't forget what happened when he died.
Right. And then they just, at the end, when Caramon and Tika go and fuck, and Taz is like, okay, I'll just teleport away.
Yeah.
Which I loved.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to retire.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a sheriff. It's going to be great as he's, like, activating the magical device.
Yeah. I love when he had control of the Citadel.
Oh, my God, yes. The mayor of the, or, like, the lord of the city gave him the flying Citadel.
It's like flipping it upside down. Salt and paper checking it.
I laughed out loud. I was hanging out with Mike. We were sitting outside just, like, smoking a joint. I was reading. And it was that part, and I was laughing so hard. And he's like, what is going on in that book? I'm like, okay, so. And he hears us talk about Tasselhoff a lot. So I'm like, so you know Tasselhoff? And he's like, yeah, of course I know Tasselhoff. I'm like, so he got control of this, like, magically flying evil castle. And to get all of the draconians off of it, he, like, upends it and shakes them all out. And then does, like, a swan dive into the ocean to filter out everything else.
I loved it at the end when they were like, what'd you do with the Citadel? And he's like, well, I tried to take it to the moon. That didn't work out.
Turns out your nose starts to bleed. And it's really cold and uncomfortable when you get, like, not even close to the moon.
Yeah. It's further than I thought.
Yeah.
He's like, and then, I don't know, I just got bored. You get bored with it, you know? So I give it to the gnome.
Yeah, rounds,
the
gully
dwarf.
Yeah, gully dwarf.
Gives it to a gully dwarf.
Love it. Yeah, I set it down in some empty plot in a city. Everyone was super pissed. Yeah. I tell you, and then he brought, like, his whole gully dwarf clan, and everyone got, like, even more pissed.
It sounded like a book. Like, there could have been a book of that part.
Yeah.
I know. He was going through, and I was like, oh my God, I want to hear more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't think of any, I'm sure there are, but I want to, because in between this and, like, the next trilogy, the War of Chaos. No, sorry, the War of, the War of Chaos. There's, like, 20 years gap. Mm. 20-ish years. I don't know what Tasselhoff does in that 20 years.
Probably saves the world 20 times.
Every year. Yeah, once a year, for sure.
He's too right now.
Yeah.
Like, he does everything big time. It's fucking crazy.
I love right before So they're in Palanthas and the battle is raging. And Tanis and Caramon decide that they're going to use the magical device to get up onto the Flying Citadel so that they can take control and get the tower. And Tanis is like, stay here. Go somewhere safe. Don't do anything stupid. Do you promise? And Taz is like, totally.
I know, I just smiled a little bit. It was so
funny. First thing he does is pray to Fizban, gets Fire Flash dropped out of the sky, fights off a black dragon.
Meets them there, rescues them.
What would you guys have done? You would have died.
They would have been dead. They were trapped. His interaction with the black dragon was great.
It was great. Hey, you.
The dragon's like, I don't want to fuck with this kid. Yeah, he's like, what?
That's a pretty powerful magical artifact he has. I'm going to fuck off. Yeah.
Like, he fucking fights a black dragon and then, like, gets up there and rescues them. It was just all the while,
doop-de-doop.
Yeah. Even when they were like, okay, we got the magical device, only two of us can get up there. And then they're like, all right, it's obviously going to be Caramon and Tanis. And I was like, what?
Oh, what do you mean, obviously?
Obviously, you're bringing Taz. Like, he's way more useful. He's been saving you this whole time. He saved you from the forest you just got into, you dumb bitch.
Dumb fuck. He literally.
He's like, I got this. I'm going to walk in there by myself. Oh, maybe it's a huge mistake. It's scary in here.
I didn't think it'd be this scary. Everyone said it was scary.
And then fucking Taz brings Tanis to rescue him. And then he figures out they can use the Citadel.
Mm-hmm. I know. He literally does
everything. Does everything.
I know. When he finds them in the Citadel and they realize they're about to fight a wizard. And Taz is like, Tanis, you idiot. You dropped this magical protection bracelet. Like, what would you do without me? And Tanis is like, you stole it off of me and ran away. Fuck.
I love how he always forget. Like, they always go to like borrowing and like, it's always like the first thing.
He's like, what would these idiots do without me? They're always dropping things.
I love there's one part, like, I think it was pretty much near the end where he's going through his bag.
He dumps out his pouches. I know, I love it. It's like, it reminds me of like, I mean, it's all Dungeons and Dragons, right? So it's like at the end of a quest going through the loot you get, or like beating a boss and like all the drops going through the loot. Did you recognize, how many items did you recognize from the story?
A bunch. There was like a, well, there was the leaf ring from the first book that Lorana gave Tanis. I forget the, but I did recognize. He has a lot of fucking cool shit.
A lot of magical items. That other, I think he still has the ring that turns him into a mouse.
I was kind of hoping you'd use it at some point.
He had the bracelet.
That's a fucking huge artifact.
The magical time traveling device. He literally has like some of the most powerful magical artifacts in his pouches, and he's just like,
I want to go to the moon.
I don't think he goes to the moon. Someone goes to the moon.
Sweet.
It's Kitiara and Sturm.
Kitiara
dead in the ground. Raceland
didn't go out the way I was hoping, but
I knew she was going to die in this book, so it wasn't a shocker. I really like her.
And Soth was like,
mine. That's a fucked up fate.
Yeah.
That really sucks. Raceland too. Dad fucked up fate.
Yeah. Yeah, when she's like, every day I'm gonna come, you're gonna
rip you apart.
My face is the first thing you're gonna see.
I'm gonna spend all day ripping
mind,
you
body,
apart.
And soul.
Yeah, and then I'll put you back together so I can do it again tomorrow. Sweet. Oh. Yeah. Well, shouldn't have been so evil. Although, so I was thinking about this a lot, and like, I don't see if I lived in Kryn, and was a magic user, I don't see how I could not be a black robe.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
I mean,
maybe red robe, but like a pretty dark red.
Yeah. Like, first of all, they have the coolest tower, in the, surrounded by the coolest forest.
Yeah. Well, it's not just a Black Robe Tower. All the towers belong to all the magicians. There's not, like, a Black Robe Tower, a White Robe Tower, a Red Robe Tower. They're currently, like, they go through, there's a master of the tower, and sometimes it's a red robe, sometimes it's a white robe, but...
Yeah.
It's... The one in Palanthas was cursed by a black robe and made to be an evil one, but inherently the towers are not.
Yeah, but I mean, aligned. It is pretty much a black robe one.
But the one in Palanthas, because it was cursed
and
taken over by Raistlin, who is the most powerful dark wizard ever known.
Yeah. All their like guards and shit.
Yeah.
Like the spooky guards. Yeah. I love it.
Spooky guards.
Yeah, Dalmar was great.
Dalmar's awesome.
He was good in this book.
Mm-hmm.
I love Elistan is the worst.
Honestly, I'm so glad he's dead.
And, like, what did he do?
He has done nothing. He literally, like, in the books, hasn't done anything. They rescued him in Paxlar Cast, and then he, I guess, gave a couple speeches, and everyone was like, oh, fuck this elf maiden who just saved us, an old white man to worship, great.
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, KDR is gonna attack the city tomorrow, you know, we need to really pull this together. I'm dying.
Can't help.
And then he dies, and it's this big tragic thing,
and the temple gets burned down because
I don't know. And they have him at this meeting with, like, it's Tanis and Dalamar and him, and I'm like, and I'm like, why is Elistan? He's nothing.
He's literally a nothing.
Yeah, he's nothing. He's not contributing to anything.
Yeah.
The whole meeting was just Dalamar telling them something.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I hate clerics of Paladin.
Yeah, they're so annoying.
They're so dumb.
So annoying. At the end, she's like, I learned my lesson. Did you, bitch?
Did you, fuck?
I'm glad you're blind.
Yeah. Yeah. God damn it.
So annoying. She's annoying. So annoying. I should have known. He betrayed me.
I know. I love followers of Tachesis. I just think they're more interesting characters because, like, they draw their power from her, but they're also super scared of her and they respect her. So, like, all of these dark people are like, no, we don't want Tachesis in the world. Like, we're going to stop her.
Mm-hmm.
But I, like, worship her, but she can't come here.
Mm-hmm.
I think I like that the relationship Takis's followers have with her is interesting. And with Paladin, it's just like, oh, he's the best. I love him. He does everything for me. I love him.
Yeah.
It's stupid. It's flat. It's one dimensional.
Yeah, he's too much like the type of like dad who will just spoil their kid.
Yeah.
And,
get
everything.
But has no actual substance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, super annoying.
Yeah. So, Tachesis forever.
For sure. Gillian, who the fuck is that guy?
So boring. Such a boring grump.
I just picture him like kind of like a Ned Flanders. Ugly, ugly!
No,
just staying out of everything.
I don't know.
I'm just like, I don't know. What do you think?
I'm not getting in the middle of this, guys.
Yeah.
You always put me in the middle.
Stop arguing!
Stop!
It's always grunge music.
Nobody gets me.
So, yeah. I like blasted through. It's a bit of a blur.
Yeah. Lots of stuff happened.
I just remember lots of cool Taz shit.
Taz was awesome. He continues to be the best.
Yeah. Tanis was like, whatever. Something a bit more elves.
Yeah. I really like Tanis, but I feel like I like Tanis more when it's when the whole book is about him.
Mm.
Because he's quite a like subtle character, so when you only get snippets of him, it's just a little boring.
Yeah.
But like when you see his whole like journey through like his eyes,
yeah,
it's better.
Yeah. I don't have much else to say.
Yeah. Book ends, everyone's happy.
Yep. Tika.
I love Tika.
Yeah.
I was like cry laughing, like happy crying when she's going up the ladders with her iron skillet. And she's like, I need a weapon, and grabs an iron skillet.
Yeah.
That's so Tika. And she goes up, and I was really hoping she would wallop.
Me too.
Carmen. It would have been really funny. She kills it. Oh, no.
He comes back finally.
Book ends.
Yeah. Because he's at peace with his brother now. It's okay.
Yeah. To the abyss with him. So, yeah. Cute little ending.
Yeah. Dalmar survives.
There should be a Tassoff TV show.
Yeah.
All of his adventures.
So cool.
Call it Wanderlust. That's his book's name. That's the book that Kinder, the Tasselhoff book.
Mm.
It's called Wanderlust. It's great. It's a really good book, actually.
Sweet. Yeah, I don't have too much else to say on the book.
Yeah.
And then I'm excited for the new one.
Mm-hmm. Now we're reading Magic of Recluse next.
Yeah.
By L.E. Modisett Jr.
Yeah, I still haven't gotten it. Like, it still hasn't shipped.
Uh-huh.
I was thinking maybe just downloading the audiobook, because I'll download it either way.
Right.
And then I can just start it with that.
Yeah.
So we can get it going.
Yeah. Yeah. I have it.
How big is it?
It's bigger than any Dragonlance book.
Okay.
I have it in the kitchen. I'll show you.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to say 500-600 pages at least. Six, sweet. Seven maybe.
It's a good size.
It's a good size, yeah. It's a good chunky book.
I mean, not like any size. Like, as long as the book's good. Like,
yeah, exactly. Size doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's more about the delivery. Yeah, yeah.
Quality, not quality.
Quality, exactly. Yeah. It's really good. It's definitely, you're going to notice a huge pace change. It's definitely not as fast-paced as Dragonlance.
That's okay.
But yeah, it's not like, that's not the point of the book. The point, it's very interesting. The magic system is very cool. The setting development is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
The world creation.
I don't mind
really
like
cool.
Not fast paced, because like slow pace gets like a bad rep, because it implies that it's like boring.
Exactly. Exactly.
Also, like, if you know how to do character development and stuff, like, that's, you need to do that. Yeah, and those turn into really good books.
Exactly. So that's very much this guy's writing style. Yeah. It's much more centered around the character. And a lot of it's just kind of like everyday life in this world as a like magic user.
Mm.
Not like... There are some battles for sure. Like there's action. But some of the books, it's just like half the book is... an order mage like working in his carpentry shop and like using his order magic to make like the best toys.
Cool.
Well, that's like most of the book.
Yeah.
And then there's some action sprinkled in, but it's just, yeah, they're really well written. It's kind of like slice of life style books, but in a fantasy world.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm excited. I don't know anyone else who's read them, so I've never had anyone else to talk to about them. It'll be fun.
Sweet. Your brother's never read them?
He's tried. He found them boring.
What type of fantasy does he like?
It's weird because he likes really boring stuff. He loves... I mean, he and I read Dragonlance growing up together all the time, and he's read Lord of the Rings and all that, but... He reads more, like, historical fiction than fantasy. Like, he loves Wilbur Smith. Wilbur Smith is his favorite author. He writes a lot about historical fiction in, like, Africa and the Middle East and stuff. Africa, mostly. Egypt and stuff.
Cool.
Apparently they're really good, but I get the sense that it's just kind of, like... I get the sense that he's, like, this misogynistic old white guy that writes about, like... white American heroes in the Congo, which is gross.
Yeah.
That's like the sense that I get from him. I've never read any of his books, but every time Grant tells me something, I'm like, that's sounds dumb.
Yeah.
But I just read about wizards and dragons.
Yeah. So. Me too. Every time I see someone post about like my new book, I'm like, ugh, I would never read that.
Yeah. And you should read this book. It was so insightful. Gross. So I'm excited to.
Me too.
To read that, and there's a lot of good books in that world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's a good one to jump in and out of too. Like you don't have to read 7 books in a row because it's all kind of disjointed stories.
There's no like actual continuity.
Yeah. I think there's a couple stories that are like 2 books long, but other than that, it's all like single books or 2 books.
Cool.
That take place all over the world, geographically and across the timeline.
Cool.
Of this world, yeah.
Sick.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Same.
Do you think of a song for this week?
Oh God. Something Kylie.
Something Kylie, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah. What's a good? What's like the theme of this week? And then I'll think of a Kylie song.
Okay. Like you asked me,
theme. I was like, no. I'll think of the Kylie song. You give me like a theme of relate, a theme that I can maybe relate. excuse me.
Broken expectations.
Broken expectations. Promises.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Kylie Minogue, Promises. Thank you.